Greetings to the bright Estonians in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Doug McBurney and I were talking about a famous NBA player said we didn't go to the moon. And I pointed out that there are people who believe in a flat earth, that we didn't go to the moon. They tend to overlap. People who believe in geocentrism, that the earth is stationary and the sun and the planets and the stars and the galaxies revolve, they orbit around the earth. And those are different spheres, and they do tend to overlap. So one of our listeners in Wisconsin complained and said, overlapping spheres, aha, I knew it, you're a spherist. How could there be overlapping spheres if spheres don't exist? Well, I responded and said, so you're saying that the only thing to sphere is sphere itself. Let me think through that. I've got to think through that. I have, right in front of me here, bills from Pops. Many of you knew Pops, Albert Sharon. He was our office manager, the studio manager, and my dad, my stepdad, for 20 years. He was in the hospital the last day and a half of his life. I have the bills here, the itemized bills. Hundreds of thousands of dollars for a day and a half. I'm going to share that with you. And one of our guests from back around when Pops had gone in the hospital brought up his Obamacare premium. And I told him I'm going to share that. I asked him, could I share that on the air? He said, yeah, but don't give my name. Don't say who I am. But he gave me an update, and the update is startling. So I'll share that with you also. And then this, we're talking about whether something is unconstitutional or not. And we're going to add to our webpage, kgov.com/definitions. You know, here at KGov, we have webpages for everything, right? We've been doing this for decades. kgov.com/definitions. And whether it's God, you know, what's the best definition for God? Or time? Or what does it mean to be a conservative, bias, knowledge, terrorism, money? What's the best definition of money? Forensics, rock, right? Crime in legal terms. Well, we have this now. We're adding to that page, unconstitutional. We have it as an adjective, and then there's an example. So as an adjective, not in accordance with a political constitution, especially the U.S. Constitution, or with procedural rules. And the example says this, Obamacare is constitutional if you are forced to buy it, but unconstitutional if you are not forced to buy it. And that's hysterical, and that's what has happened from our allegedly conservative judges on the U.S. Supreme Court and in Texas. So, to Pop's hospital bill, we did not know that he had an aneurysm. How old was Pops when he passed away? I'm asking my board operator. 82? 82 years old? We didn't know. He didn't know he had an aneurysm, and it was a big aneurysm. So he was not feeling well, went to the hospital, and he went from working almost full-time here at the studio, Bob and Yurt Live. He had gone on a cruise to the Caribbean just maybe 4 weeks earlier, then spent almost a week in Miami. This is all with my mom. Pops was widowed many years ago. His wife died of cancer. My mom was a widow from many years ago. My dad died of a second or third heart attack. And they met each other in New Jersey. All the kids said, Mom, marry him. He's a Messianic Jew. He's Jewish. He believes in the Lord. He's awesome. So the two families became very close. And what a wonderful time we had. And Pops was here day in and day out. Even on the weekends, he would come into the evenings for about 18 years, really, truly astounding, a commitment of love, labor of love on his part, and what a great time we all had together. So, and before the cruise to the Caribbean, they had taken a cruise to Spain. They have dear friends at Denver Bible Church, and they're retired, and they like to take cruises, and they find the best deals. So, you know, there's a lot of really sharp senior citizens that figure out how you could take a cruise and live almost cheaper than if you stayed home. So they go through the Panama Canal. They went everywhere on cruises. Had gone to Spain maybe half a year before that, then to the Caribbean, then almost a week in Miami. And he's back home. We're having a great time, going out to dinner, celebrating birthdays, Christmas, New Year's. Pops has to go to the hospital. I bring him. Mom and I bring Pops to the hospital. And he's joking with the nurses, and which is his style. And then he's in trouble. Something is very wrong. And then they call Code Blue, room 217. And then it's like half the hospital at St. Anthony shows up in Golden. You couldn't fit more people into Pop's hospital room, and they have a window, so we're in the hallway looking in, and it's just devastating. Me, Cheryl, and my mother, Connie. Connie works at the studio, too. Many of you have talked to her. When you call us, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, she often answers the phone, or if nobody answers, she returns the call. When people sign up for monthly Bible studies or TV classics or our topical videos or our sermons or monthly donations automatic to keep us on the air, my mom does a lot of that. You could do it online, too, at our website, kgov.com/store. But so it's my mom, Cheryl, and me. We're there. Later, other relatives come, loved ones. And so it's like happens in a minute, it seems. The surgeon comes out and says, you have to decide immediately whether we are going to operate or not. If we operate, it will almost certainly kill him. There's a good chance he won't survive the operation. And wow, it's a very scary thing to hear. It's certainly not the surgeon's fault that this is the situation that Pops is in after 82 years of living a wonderful life. We say, well, what if he doesn't get the operation? Well, he'll probably die by tomorrow. But what if he does get the operation? Well, he may not survive it, but he might survive it. And if he does, so anyway, we're trying to process all this. It's like they're forcing the family to decide immediately. It was around maybe 5:30 in the evening. It turns out the bill for 1.5 days at the hospital, we decided to do the surgery, and I'll tell you why in a moment. The bill, and I have it right here, itemized, many, like 30 pages of bills. The total, each, you know, section is itemized in the sections, operating room services, anesthesia, all the stuff. The total is $454,361. That's the total. This is from, you know, provider name, St. Anthony Hospital. It's got all the, this is the bill that came to my mom's house. $454,361.92. So when the doctor is strongly, he's pushing us to make a decision immediately. And it was hard for us to process even, why would we have to make a decision immediately if either way Pops is going to die by tomorrow? Why can't we take time and think this through? And it could be because of something as pragmatic as people's schedules. It could be a shift change. Everybody there, they're either going to take him into the operating room and stay through the night, or they're going to go home. It could be something as simple as that. I don't know. But I realize because Pops has insurance and he's insured, because of our Social Security, which is a kind of welfare state program. Right? It's a kind of welfare state program. You have Medicare, you have Medicaid, unemployment insurance. All these are social programs started by liberals and saved by conservatives. And even Obamacare now, Trump says, we got to do it right and we got to keep the pre-existing conditions. You realize how leftist and how corrupt and how immoral that is, right? It's like saying to Allstate Insurance Company, well, this guy got in an accident, killed two people, and then he came to you the next day for insurance. You got to cover him. I mean, it's criminal and it's lunacy. It's both of those things. But a conservative, well, let me look up on kgov.com/definitions. What is the definition of a conservative? Let's see. Oh, here it is. Conservative, a Republican trying to save a social program started by a liberal. That's been there for years, not just with Obamacare. So we are faced with making this decision, and I realize that Pops has insurance, and to us, financially, it's like nothing. It's like stopping for a coffee in a drive-thru. It's nothing because the government is going to pay for it, basically. In other words, you're going to pay for it. You, the person who's hearing this on the radio right now, podcast, you're going to pay for it. Not us. I mean, we pay for such a tiny fraction of it, it's like nothing. And this happens thousands of times every day. So I also realize the emotional cost to the surgeon and the surgical staff. Because it's not like you work in radio and you cut a 30-second radio ad and it doesn't work and you got to recut it and recut it. You got to do it and it's a pain in the neck. And if it doesn't go well, they don't pay you. It's not like that. Here, you put everything you have into this operation. You're operating on a living human being. And if it's simply not possible, or if you make a mistake, which all human beings make mistakes, the person dies. That's a lot different than most of our jobs. Like first responders, police officers, firefighters, they make split-second decisions in times during their career that are life and death. Most of us don't do that. It's like soldiers on a battlefield. And so I'm thinking about the emotional cost to the surgeons, to Pops and my mother, and the financial cost. And how do you factor in the money when it's free? How do you do that? So what I did is I considered it this way. I said, let's presume that if we said we want the operation, we would have to sell our home, Cheryl and I, we'd have to sell our home and all the revenue we got from the home would have to go to the hospital to pay for the operation. So let's assume that's what they're telling us. Pops does not have insurance, and do you want him to get this operation? If you do, you're going to lose your home because that's what it's going to cost. So I tried. Of course, you know, it's easy to trick yourself or to not stay true to the givens that you're trying to process. But I thought it through in that way. What would I decide if it would cost us our home? And we decided because there were so many particulars we did not know. And partly it was a little bit difficult to trust what the surgeon was telling us because of the intensity of the immediacy. You have to decide immediately right now, which did not make sense to us. And there were other factors about Pop's kidneys that had always been fine, and apparently his kidneys were shutting down. And if he survived the operation, how would his kidneys function? And so we were getting information, and it seemed like the information was all skewed in the extreme that he's going to die, and you have to decide immediately. It was too hard to process. We just couldn't process it. So we said this. We said, we've decided we'd like you to do the operation. That's what we decided. And sure enough, you know, the cost of it, it was even more than I thought it would be. $454,361 and 92 cents. Almost $500,000 for a day and a half. Pops was a day and a half in the hospital. And so most of the cost, I'm sure, was from the operating room expenses, the operation, which lasted, if I recall, you know, maybe 5 hours, 6 hours. He had a huge aneurysm. I forget how many centimeters, but I think it was bigger than your fist. It was in his abdomen. And they actually repaired that. They repaired the aneurysm, which is astounding, an incredible accomplishment. But the stress of that and everything else that had been simultaneously failing in his body with the operation, that he passed away. And we're so thankful for how hard they tried. And we are thankful. But I'm sharing this because of the recognition of the cost. And as a consumer, it's like the services are free and there's a disconnect between what we really need and what we need to be done and what the cost will be. There's a disconnect. So then you bring that into the realm of monthly premium payments for health insurance. And we have the government taking over health care, which has effectively happened. Now there's the latest ruling. It's truly all insane. You know, it's thanks to our Republican conservative Supreme Court that we have Obamacare. Even though liberals voted for it, they needed John Roberts, the George W. Bush Chief Justice, who was radically anti-family, pro-homosexual, fought to overturn Colorado's Amendment 2 to fulfill the radical sodomite agenda. And he had done that before George W. Bush nominated him to the U.S. Supreme Court. So obviously here at Bob and Yurt Live, we knew, Colorado Right to Life knew, American Right to Life knew, but somehow Focus on the Family didn't know. National Right to Life didn't know. So we get Obamacare because of the politicians who were funded in part by National Right to Life. We went and got their tax returns. If you look at ProLifeProfiles.com, National Right to Life, you'll see that, you know, the politician who crossed the aisle became a Democrat just so he could vote for a procedural vote to pass Obamacare. That's one of National Right to Life's guys. And the Supreme Court justice who upholds Obamacare, that's one of the National Right to Life guys, and Focus on the Family guys. And when it's obvious throughout that these are enemies of the gospel, enemies of marriage, enemies of family, enemies of the child, it's obvious throughout, but if you have a lust to be a kingmaker and you have a lust to defeat the Democrats, that's become the god of many Christians. Their god is to oppose the liberals. You know, examples of that are like with Brett Kavanaugh and that song, It's Cold Outside. That song, It's Cold Outside, it's about a guy trying to fornicate with a woman and he's trying to make her drunk. What did you put in my drink? He's trying to seduce her. That's the song. And you have Christians defending the song because the liberals are opposed to it. How's that? And Brett Kavanaugh, because he's falsely accused, it is right to defend someone who's falsely accused, even if that person is your enemy. You could still defend someone against a false accusation. Abimelech used that defense, in a way, with God when he took Abraham's wife and he said, I didn't know she was his wife. He said she was his sister. So that's a defense against an accusation. And God shows us you can defend even an evil person against a false accusation. But that doesn't mean now that you support the evil person. You stop short. You defend against the false accusation, but you don't support a child killer. And so now Brett Kavanaugh has gone ahead and stabbed in the back the children of yet another generation by ruling for Planned Parenthood in two states, three lower court cases, that they're going to continue not only to kill unborn children, but to force you as the taxpayer to fund the killing of unborn children. That's how extreme and how deranged and how immoral. So today you have Christians who are idolaters, and what they worship is the opposition to liberals. If they're opposing liberals, they're willing to disobey God, to dishonor God, in order to enjoy a moment of opposing liberals. And so they'll defend, in large numbers, if we extrapolate correctly from social media, the perverse song, "It's Cold Outside." Because they grew up hearing it on the radio during Christmas. And the fact that it's a guy trying to seduce a younger woman and he's trying to get her to drink alcohol so he lowers her inhibitions so he could have sex with her. They're not married, obviously. But Christians fight for the song. It's their fight song right now. Okay, so when you look at Obamacare and the government is going to take care of pre-existing conditions and they're going to pay the premiums, or at least most or much of the premiums, for people who can't really afford health care. And if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you could keep your plan. Those were all lies. The father of Obamacare is not Barack Obama. The father of Obamacare is Mitt Romney. He introduced Obamacare in Massachusetts. He passed it into law. It included the individual mandate. It funded abortion from day one. It was Obamacare on steroids. And Mitt Romney's chief advisor for RomneyCare went to the White House, I forget how many times, eight times, as they were crafting, constructing Obamacare to help them accomplish that. So one of our guests, about a year ago, when Pops, just about when Pops passed away, came in and said, well, here's my experience. You try to get health care. You don't want Obamacare, and there's no way to do it. You have to buy your family health insurance through the state exchange. And I don't want to buy it through the exchange. That's Obamacare. I just want to buy health care. You got to go through the exchange. Okay, so his family, they'd been paying like $600 a month for the health care program they had. So they get on Obamacare, and their monthly payment goes up dramatically, only the government is paying so much that their payment goes down a couple hundred dollars a month lower, even though the monthly premium skyrocketed. So then that was just the end of that year. The next year, the monthly premium went up again to $1,800 a month. He had been paying $600. And his monthly payment that he had to make was $250 a month. It went down. So the premium went up. Now it's $1,800 a month. And nothing changed in his financials as far as he says. Nothing changed. His payment goes down. So now that taxpayers are paying that much more money for his family's health insurance. Then I called him. I told him I wanted to tell a story. He said, okay, but please don't use my name. He said, now for 2019, this is the end of the sign-up period for Obamacare, basically, and now everything is up in the air. But he said his monthly premium went up again to $2,100 a month, So it was around $600. It went to, like, I forget the next increase, $1,200. Then it went to $1,800. Now it's $2,100. From $600, and his premium keeps going down. Now he's paying $68 a month. 68. He was paying, just 3 years ago, he's paying $600 a month. Then it went down to four something, then $250. Now he finds out for 2019, he only has to pay $68 a month, but the monthly premium is $2,100. So taxpayers are paying for his family $2,000 a month in his premium. And his wife said this. He quoted her. I'll quote him so you're getting it third hand. She said, "It makes me sick. Our health insurance is making me sick to know how much money people have to pay for our health insurance. It makes me sick." And your health insurance is not supposed to make you sick. Health insurance, life insurance, auto insurance, homeowners, health care. In this sense, they're like labor unions. Have a union, collective bargaining. Theoretically, they're great. They're great ideas, fine. More power to you. It's all fine. But if the government gets involved and there's no longer an equal playing field, so with labor unions and management, the government has gotten involved through federal law, state law, city and county law, forget about New York City, and they pass laws regarding collective bargaining that absurdly favor the union. So it is not simply a group of employees getting together to negotiate a contract. And since they have a large number of employees, workers, then they have more bargaining power. It's not that. If it were just that, that'd be fine. But the federal government comes along, the state and local governments come along, and they pass laws that favor the labor union so that all of a sudden you do not have people who are freely operating to their own best interest, and they're just trying to come up with a contract that's mutually agreeable. You don't have that anymore. And the same thing with insurance, same thing with health care, the same thing with education. If you have a school and teachers and they're going to teach, I mean, it should be one of the least expensive services available, especially K through 8. It should be incredibly cheap to teach kids how to read and write and do math. Incredibly cheap. Even with technology, throw technology in there, it should be incredibly cheap. But the government inserts itself where it has no right. The problem with public schools is not that they're godless. I mean, that's a problem, but it's not the problem. The problem with public schools is that they're public schools, is that the government funds them. And the government has no right, was never authorized by God, to take money from you by force, tax collection, and use it to decide how they're going to educate other people's kids. They have no right to do that. God limited government. God gave government the responsibility for criminal justice, for infrastructure, for national defense, military. Those are the three areas that the government has actual authority from God. Not in agriculture, not in education, not in healthcare. In all these areas, it might look like things have gotten better. They've gotten worse, significantly worse. Hey, this is Bob Benyart. May God bless you.